Joined now by Patrick O'Gallagher, who's one of the 20 candidates running in the Donegal constituency for one of the five seats. Pat, what's your take on the whole thing now as we speak? How are you feeling about your chances of getting one of the seats?
Well, I would prefer to be in my own shoes and very happy in my own shoes. And of course, would I be anxious that my colleague, Charlie McConnell, would take the second seat? Of course, we'll have to wait until tomorrow until we see that. But I'm particularly delighted with my own performance. Over 10,000 votes, having made a comeback after leaving here in February 2020, having lost the seat by some hundreds of votes. But I continued working through all that period. And I think the people have rewarded me for that work.
And we were saying that in relation to the panel here that we have here on Ocean FM, we were saying that during the day that what you seem to have, and it's not a political point to try, it's not pro Fianna Fáil or anything else, but what seems to be the reality, and a lot of people are saying it, is that you kept kind of working as a public representative, even though you weren't elected.
When I left here in 2020, I got me the P60. And I accepted that. And people had been very good to me in the previous elections. This is my 17th election, having been elected to Donegal County Council on two occasions, to Europe on three. And of course, I lost one. But I think I have a record in that I was never eliminated in all of my 17 elections. And when I left here, I took it that that was the end of my political career. But I was always at home and I'd never changed my number. And I continued to get calls from people and I continued to work. I never had a day off in all that time. And even when I was abroad, which was only a few weeks in the year, I was always available. And I would say to any young politician, you have to be at the other end of the phone. And I have, that's my right hand there, that phone. I have about 6,000 contacts on that phone. And if you ask me about an issue, I had one there recently about somebody looking for a visa to get into Switzerland. I was able to go into my phone and contact directly the foreign minister in Switzerland because I had been on the EU
One of the
Switzerland
committees.
committee. I was chair of that time. So it's all about contacts in life and not necessarily knowing the people at the very top, knowing the people in the middle or lower down.
Can you give us a wee bit of the juicy background, if you like, to how we got to this situation? Like, was it a case of Fianna Fáil headquarters saying to you, listen, we don't want you to run in the we don't want you to run. Can I ask you what happened behind the scenes in terms of, like, were you encouraged not to run for the party in the European elections and then maybe to hold off and run here? How does that work in terms of
I had
in
no
terms of the general election?
I had no intention of running for the European election in 2024. However, I was nominated by members throughout the length and breadth of the Northwest constituency, but I had no intention. And I had no intention up until about maybe 6 months ago of running for the Dáil. And the fact that I was available over the last 4.5 years, I didn't have an objective of returning to the Dáil. They required the service or my services, and I was glad to work with the people who had issues or wanted my advice. And then about 6 months ago, I thought seriously about it. There was never any suggestion that headquarters didn't want me to run. A democratic organization, I kept in touch with the delegates throughout that time. I decided that I was in the best position to win back that seat. And possibly, maybe the decision was a wrong one, but I think it was a wrong one for me. Someone said to me, do what's good for you and your wife. I said, yeah, that's the way to look at it. And
Maybe.
then I won't be running if I was
Yeah,
doing what's good
so
for me and my
maybe.
wife. But I did what was good for the people of Donegal and particularly Southwest
So
Donegal.
you were encouraged to run by the party, like the headquarters. They wanted the seat here.
No, I wasn't encouraged to run. It was my own
Your own decision.
decision together with a number of and the organisation who advised me. Now, headquarters, I must say, in fairness to them, didn't interfere. They allowed the convention to take its course. And we had a tremendous convention here in Letterkenny. And the one who made that convention was Michael Naughton, who contested it. Because had it been a free run for me, we wouldn't have had the hundreds of people from all parts of the county. It was one of the biggest conventions we ever had. And
And Micheál Nochtain's just down where I am in Leahy, which is in the Donegal constituency, but if you go down 100 metres south where I live, you're in the Sligo-Leitrim constituency.
But speaking of that, I made a very strong case to the Electoral Commission in 2016 that Donegal should be reunited. And it's all because of mathematics. Donegal, or the Electoral Commission, wanted another 9,000 to ensure there would be a four-seater in Sligo-Leitrim. And they took this from Donegal. Totally unnatural. And I believe that will not change until such time as there is a referendum. And I feel there has to be a referendum, because if there's not, leaving Donegal, Sligo-Leitrim aside, with the increase in the population, we'll soon have need 200 deputies in the Dáil. It'll be too unwieldy. So rather than have the 20,000, 30,000 rule per deputy, then they'll have to change that. And they should insert in that that county boundaries should not be breached.
Will you be expecting a ministerial role, given your so vast experience, but will you be expecting a ministerial role, you know, if you're elected, once you're elected?
I'm not expecting anything, but I'm there to serve if I'm required.
So it's something you would take on if it came up?
Of course it would. And let me address the one before you ask me of one of age. My age is biologically 50.
Right.
50. And I have just completed now 4 years, 11 months and 5 days walking. It's a long chain, 1,785 in that chain. And there wasn't one breakage. Never missed one day in all that time. 14 million steps, over 9,000 kilometres, 3 times round the wild Atlantic Way. And if I could walk on water, it would be from here. It would be from here to Boston. Here to Boston. I mean, and I'm as fit today as it was at the start of the campaign. And it's the best thing, and I can advocate it to anybody. It doesn't have to be 5K as I do, but people should walk, and it's good for the mentally and physically.
What about, and try to be, I know that you have to toe the party line to a certain extent, and you're loyal, and but listen, if you try to speak objectively, as subjective as possible in terms of Charlie McConnellogh, what's the situation? Like, do you think he's in danger of losing his seat?
Well, if I speak with my head rather than my heart,
yeah.
I believe that if I were in that position, I would rather be in Charlie's shoes. And I feel that Charlie should win the second seat. And that's the general consensus. But of course, the same was said about me a number of times, and I lost out. So I'm hoping that
he will
win the
second seat. Do you think he ran a good campaign himself?
Well, I was concentrating on your own campaign, my own. And we had boundaries. And I didn't breach any of those boundaries. Well, I got votes in any show, and I got votes. That's because I had worked for those people. They didn't vote for me for the love of me. I had worked with them and for them, whether it be in Milford, part of that was in my allocated area. And in Letterkenny, I got a big vote.
And Micheál Martin leads the party. Do you think he did a good job?
He did. He wasn't in Donegal, but he...
He never came to Donegal once?
No, he wasn't. Or in Sligo-Leitrim. But jeez, they obviously decided that he should go to other constituencies.
That's a surprise, isn't it?
Well,
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Sean Campbell?
But maybe it's because of the time factors, I don't know. Or maybe he had every confidence in me that I would get elected.
Well, he'd also need to support Charlie McConnellogh as well, but... So he never was in Donegal at all during the campaign?
No, I wouldn't labour the point. He wasn't in Donegal, and that was
it. Yeah, that's quite incredible. Well, listen, we'll stay with John Campbell's going to say, sorry.
Little question before Pat goes. I'd like to ask Pat how he feels about polling better in Piers Doherty's heartland than he did himself this time around, if the tallies.
Yeah, well, from the tallies, I'm very pleased that I got such an outstanding vote in the Glenties electoral area. And that's the one area that I've served all my political life, from the time I was first elected to the council in 79 and again in 85. I have a great relationship with people there. And I found, while I was canvassing, there was a great groundswell of goodwill for me there among all ages, and particularly young people that I have a very close relationship with. And it was always available to them, whether it was the Susie Grants or whether it was social welfare, whatever it was. The one thing that I didn't lose in 2020, I might have lost my seat, but I didn't lose my contacts.
Very good. Well, Pat the Cope Gallagher, best of luck to you. And do you want to add anything, John Campbell?
No, just that. I think, you know, we'll talk to you outside there. It is a great achievement to increase your vote by, I think, 2,700, 2,800 on the last time. And I think when you look at the size of what you actually did, Pat, the fact that you outpolled Pierce in the Glenties area is a huge political achievement. But I think I said it earlier, it doesn't surprise me because you kept doing the work, which is a secret. And I know from talking to people from Ballybuffet to God knows where, you were contactable 24/7. And indeed, Jerome tried to contact.
I don't mention that. I told you.
Tell Pat.
It was early hours of the morning, but I thought it was. I have Pat Taxi. I wasn't wearing my glasses. I have Pat the Cope Galler and I have Pat Taxi. I think it was 2:30 in the morning. Anyway, Pat, you've said enough about that.
Sometimes I remember the call very well. It was in the early hours, and I said, I thought there was something wrong.
Of course,
Jerome was ringing me, but I rang him back in the morning, and he didn't know why I was ringing him back until he checked his phone.
That's not the full story.
But can I say that this is not all about me? This is about Team Cope. I had the best structured campaign of all my 17. We broke up my end of the constituency into various regions. We had one person in charge of each region. And I met all of those shortly after the convention. And then we built on that. I would brag that we visited 98%. And I'm just taking out an insurance there about the other 2%. But Anne Moy said to me in Glenties, and she was in charge of Glenties in our draw along with me and Mark, she says, you're wrong, Pat. We didn't do 98%. We did 100%. And, you know, when people might say, you know, canvas isn't gone, people like to be asked for their vote. And if they're not in the house, I got numerous calls from people. We got your leaflet and thanks very much. So it's a question of visiting every house.
Fair play to you. And what year were you first elected to the Dáil?
81.
81. And were you the council before that?
I was in the council, 79.
79.
And one of the, in my first 3 years, or my first three elections, it was only a year and a half. These young ones wouldn't remember. June 81, February 82, November 82. And prior to that, one of the greatest politicians Donegal ever had was Clement Coughlin. And poor Clement, 1st of February 1983, killed down, coming on his way to Dublin.
He was one
of the great ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Pat the Cope Gallagher, thank you very much for joining us. I know that you've been asked to go to other locations to do interviews and that type of thing, but hopefully we'll get chatting to you later on again. Well, just 1 second. John?
No, Pat, one of the things John Campbell impressed me about your campaign was, and I've seen some of the videos, was the number of people you were able to get to go out. And I think that's something very important, says a lot for yourself. I've seen, for example, a picture of a meeting you had in Dunloe where you had 80-100 people in it. And I think in this day and age, to get the sheer volume of canvases you had speaks volumes for you and what you were doing. That's hard to do. And I think every political party here knows how hard it is. And, you know, from day one, you had the squad out, as we say. You had the bodies on the ground and you got the canvas in. And that's hard to do. And I think as a former director of elections, that is very difficult. And to do it, fair play.
Yeah, thanks, John. They were exceptional.
Just from a young person's perspective, we were speaking earlier about who we felt ran the best campaign. And I talked about how you ran a fantastic campaign because we were speaking on the Diamond in Donegal and you said about how you're going to have a media manager. And I think that really paid off for you because you were active on Facebook, you were active on TikTok, and you were active on Instagram. And it just showed that you were separate. You know, you were available to young people and old people. You speak about being on the doors, and I've always said that that's so important. But for young people, for you to have had an active presence on the media, it definitely stood for you. And I know you got my vote, but you got plenty of other young people's votes, and it definitely was because of how active you were in the media.
I know that, but it would be in your DNA as well.
Yeah, somebody would be turning in their grave if I didn't.
I work with your granddad, and I was at his graveside in Clare when he was buried. I was honoured to have been asked to do the graveside oration, and Peter Kennedy was one of the greats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks,
you're here.
Thank you.
You're here.